fellow freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, back here with Preservative Talk Radio. Great guest today, Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. We've had a good time talking about the foundations of law, the dangers, dangerous innovations, and how to look for them, and what are the things that we need to think about. Larry, I'm very excited about some of the things that Gun Owners of America has been involved in the preservation of law in America. I will say here, I went to the WJOPC, that's William J. Olson PC website, law firm, and I see many of their cases that they're doing friend of court briefs in the Supreme Court have the Gun Owners of America name linked to them. What are some of the litigation that you guys are supporting right now?
Very happy that we've been able to have this long-term relationship with the Olson law firm. We'll do some things that don't necessarily appear to be quote-unquote gun cases, although we certainly do our share of those. But we, for instance, joined as a friend of the court in the case that was ultimately won by Citizens United before the Supreme Court, overturning bans on political speech, bans that had been put on by the likes of Senator John McCain and others of his stripe, who didn't think it was appropriate for him or other incumbents to be criticized by us little people in the run-up to an election. And he criminalized First Amendment-protected speech, and the Supreme Court spanked him and overturned it. So that now Gun Owners of America, or any individual that can rustle up the money, can buy an ad in a newspaper, buy an ad on television, radio, and now your only barrier is money, but you at least don't go to jail for opening your mouth. That was kind of the idea of the First Amendment, and particularly was it the idea to protect speech that was political. I really don't think the founders had the idea of a jiggly dancer being protected speech, but nevertheless, when we talk political speech, that's what it is and was all about. We were there and we were part of that victory so that gun owners can get a pro-Second Amendment message out to voters, say about what a very unfriendly Second Amendment guy Senator McCain is. That maybe is one of the reasons he didn't want us to be able to speak, because he has skeletons in his closet and he wanted the door to stay shut. We just made the mistake of believing all this transparency talk that you hear in Washington, and both parties are guilty of it. They both talk about transparency, letting the sun shine in. And then if you stick your head in the door, they punch you in the mouth and lock the door behind. So that was one of our efforts that was a long, long fight to finally be part of that victory that brought that about. We've been involved in other cases where somebody say, what in the world are you doing on that case? Right now we're involved in an appeal on DOMA, which was voted on by, in effect, Prop 8 in California. Well, there's a procedural issue. We're not taking part in the merits of the case about the protection of traditional marriage, but we are concerned that judges keep inventing levels of scrutiny, standards of interpretation that simply aren't there in the Constitution, and enable judges to do any nasty thing they can think of and say, well, this is because of this judicial rule of interpretation, blah, blah, blah. Well, give me a break. So we got involved in that on one of the key procedural issues where the judges were trying to invent something that wasn't even written into the Fifth Amendment. These guys are really incredible. When the Heller case and the McDonald case were decided for gun owners, the court was being tempted by the government, by the federal government, to rule according to one of three levels of interpretation. Well, happily, our lawyers made the very simple and obvious point, nay. This is a judicial invention. It doesn't exist. It's not available to you, members of the honorable court. The only interpretation rule that you're allowed is shall not be infringed. And that, of course, is kind of awkward and clunky and embarrassing in polite company to talk that way. But that's what our members pay us to do, so we're awkward and clunky and embarrassing when we go to court.
But I will say that having to throw weight in the opposite direction of your opponent is necessary rather than to just trying to stand still and not get pulled in their direction. So I got to offer that one out there. Now, there's two things I'd like to do now. I'd like you to give a plug for Gun Owners America and tell people about why our listeners in Chattanooga area of Tennessee, why they'd be interested in participating in Gun Owners America. Then I've got one more thing for you to do as you close.
We're a lobby group, and we are primarily focused, if for no other reason than that's the extent of our resources, on what happens in Washington. And so we've lobbied the Congress since our inception, and the goal is to get rid of gun control laws, because certainly at the federal level, shall not be infringed doesn't allow any room for interpretation. It just means keep your hands off. That was the whole idea of the Second Amendment, was to keep the government's hands off our guns, because we knew that the government, were it to have a monopoly of power, wouldn't be a good thing. And we've seen that. Look at what happened after Katrina. They actually went to gun stores, found out who had bought what guns and where they live, and went and confiscated them. Now, they lost the lawsuit against them 4 years later, but in the meantime, people who were trying to protect stores and homes and lives had to get out of Dodge. There was no way they could stay and protect what probably some of them had put a whole lifetime into developing. And the government comes in and says, no, we don't trust you with a gun, especially now that there's this crisis. Well, now that there's a crisis, might be exactly when those guns would be particularly useful. And governments, again, just can't be trusted. And when they want to put their hands on them, like Dianne Feinstein does, I've said publicly, and I'll say it again, if her law were to pass, which I don't think it will, but if her ban on defensive rifles and handguns were to pass, Mrs. Feinstein, I am not obeying your law.
That's an interesting point, and I'm going to play off of it as we continue the broadcast. But there's what I always do with every interview is I give my guest basically get the opportunity for an open mic. Your listeners are running up and down east and west, north and south on interstates, and this will be rebroadcast as well. So what would you like to say in closing to our Chattanooga area listener?
It's extremely important that we understand the Bill of Rights as the framework for our form of government. It was put in place not to facilitate governmental action or power, but to restrict it and to protect the individual liberties of the people, which the founders clearly believed derived from God, not from their constitution, not from the government. These were inherent in being a human being and was part of the gift of life. And for government to attack that is an attack ultimately on the human beings to whom those rights belong and should be exercised by. So we're talking about what kind of government we're going to have. And if we continue to have to debate gun control, it means we haven't really settled in our mind how are we going to control the government, how small do we want the government, do we understand what size government the founders had in mind for the federal level when they established these United States. And I would argue that we've got a real problem here, because in our schools, by now they're probably not even aware of the complete misinformation they're imparting to students who have no way to understand the kind of history that we've been alluding to.
Thank you, Mr. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, for serving your neighbor, loving your neighbor in Saudi Daisy, Tennessee, where the tower is in Chattanooga area. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and hopefully we'll see folks at gunowners.org.
Great.
All righty. Take care.
How about that? Larry Pratt, what a good guy, coming by phone to give us an opportunity to get his perspective. Usually in our mainstream media, when you're getting interviews of people or you're hearing and watching interviews, it's very framed. It's very confined. The person has to basically get out a bullet statement really quickly because they're going to limit the interview to possibly 3 minutes. And a lot of times, especially in the case of Piers Morgan in a CNN interview that he did with Larry Pratt, they pretty much boxed him in and had a motive of making him look like an extremist or, you know, some bad guy. Now, what about guns? You might not be a fan of guns. You may think, well, what are these guys? Is this anti-government? Are they anti-government? Actually, those people who are fond of Second Amendment rights are extremely, everyone that I've met, extremely pro-government. Pro-government. Actually have a desire to make sure the government is done right, not for their own gratification. The danger is often there are people in office who, and take note when they are asked a question, if they dance a fence, don't really answer your question, but they dance one side or the other and they don't really shoot straight. You're not really sure what they would do if push came to shove. It very well may be that they're being influenced by big money, that it could be that doesn't matter which side of the political pendulum that they swing, that they're going to be communicating those things that some people in industry would like them to communicate. And that's how they retain their position. Sometimes they think it's a moral imperative that they stay in office. It's worth not conforming to those supposed convictions that they communicated when they got office, because they're there for a particular purpose that they're so vital nobody else could vote just the way they do. I want to look back again on history. What did those of their founders, what did they believe? St. George Tucker was one of those people, a lot of people don't listen or hear his name, but it turns out that this guy was a very prominent person of law who served in the Revolutionary War. Let's see what he thought about what it meant to have the right to keep and bear arms. St. George Tucker said, "The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and this without any qualification as to their condition or degree, as in the case of the British government." St. George Tucker here is quoting a British law. "Whoever examines the forest and game laws in the British code will readily perceive that the right of keeping arms is effectually taken away from the people of England. The commentator himself informs us that the prevention of popular insurrections and resistance to government by disarming the bulk of the people is a reason oftener meant than avowed by the makers of the forest and game laws." So when we hear this talk, what do you need for hunting? What do you need for hunting? What do you need for sport shooting? It has nothing to do with what those people framed in the Constitution of the United States and Second Amendment. Let's see what St. George Tucker thought was the purpose of that Second Amendment. He said, "This may be considered as the true palladium of liberty. The right of self-defense is the first law of nature. In most governments, it has been the study of rulers to confine this right within the narrowest limits possible. Wherever standing armies are kept up and the right of the people to keep and bear arms is under any color or pretext whatsoever prohibited, liberty, if not already annihilated, is on the brink of destruction." That awareness is coming to the front. This is an unprecedented time in history. You're seeing the grasping, the clutching of auto industry for good cause, for moral imperative, the grasping, the clutching of the health industry or the medical industry for a moral imperative. It's for a good cause. And now the clutching and grasping of the control of what you may have in your possession for the sake of your life protection. Never before in history in America have we seen this, and it's all happening at once. There is a wind of change that we're seeing today. We're in a fallen world, and it's falling further and further. It isn't evolving to a higher plane. PreservativeTalkRadio.com, PreservativeTalkRadio.net, you'll find podcasts. With all our thanks to Copperhead 1240 AM Radio and the Liberty Works Radio Network.